Ghoulish greetings, everyone. As always, the tunes are courtesy of the amazing country legend, Bobby Mackey. And I'm, of course, your host, Tessa Morrow.
Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face. With strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away? Everyone knows that you couldn't buy the pain. So you took your life in the pouring rain.
Thanks for stopping by, making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift. Whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from tiny village to big city, from desolate desert to remote island, and you guessed it, everything in between, it is greatly appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout-out goes to
Rancho Cordova, California, Gort, Ireland, Huxley, Iowa, Fairburn, Georgia, Bethesda, Maryland, and Airdrie, Canada. So last night, I went with Teresa to go to Lee Bryce, and this was actually in Pueblo, so like at the state fair, which is 5-ish minutes away, so not bad of a drive, and it was so much fun. So yeah, it's been a busy couple weeks for me, 3 concerts, and it was just, oh my God, just too much fun for sure. And it was so cute because at the end, Lee is throwing guitar picks and then he takes his hat off and throws it into the crowd. And then he grabs a brand new hat, puts it on his head, and then throws that into the crowd. And so I thought that was really cute. That made a couple people's days for sure. So today we find ourselves in New Jersey, in an area where if you throw a rock, you'll hit somewhere that's haunted, Sandy Hook. A lighthouse stands tall and proud, originally named the New York Harbor Lighthouse, but today it's known as Sandy Hook Lighthouse. While this lighthouse would be constructed in mid-1764, plans for a lighthouse in the area took place much earlier than that, at least by 85 years, back in 1679. History.com gives more information. Quote, Sandy Hook, a low-lying peninsula of sandy hills, extending from the base of New Jersey's Navesink Highlands, rising to nearly 300 feet. The hills were the first landmark visible to sailors approaching New York Harbor from the North Atlantic Ocean. Yet, it would take more than 80 years and a series of shipwrecks in the late 1750s and early 1760s before real action was taken, unquote. Here's a neat fact for you, my friends. Sandy Hook Lighthouse is the United States' oldest active lighthouse. Now that's impressive stuff in my book. And another fact thrown your way, whew, hope you catch it. This particular lighthouse was the 5th to be built in America. That's really badass stuff right there. She's old. The year, it's now 1790. 26 years after its construction, George Washington writes to the Senate, I have directed my private secretary to lay before you copies of 3 acts of the legislature of New York. An act for vesting in the United States of America, the lighthouse, and the lands there unto belonging at Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook Lighthouse finds itself on the National Historic Landmarks list in 1964. And just 2 years later, it lands on the National Register of Historic Places in 1966. If you plan a trip out here, lighthousehunters.com has a very good tip for you. Quote, traveling here during the summer months is much more difficult. The shore beaches create traffic and fill up the parking lots early in the day. Then there is a parking toll to get to the lighthouse and beaches on the hook, unquote. See, so I'm the kind of person that when I go somewhere, I don't want to be smashed like a sardine because there are so many people around. That's one reason why I don't go to Tombstone around my birthday anymore, because that's when El Dorado is. And I've done El Dorado, and I'm happy I could say that I've done El Dorado. It's a great event. It's like, I think, the biggest one that they have out there. It brings in thousands of people. But oh my God, again, thousands of people, just so many people. I love going to places where there's not that many folks, like off season, if you will, and you get the whole place to yourself. That's happened to me a couple of times with old historical hotels, one being in Cimarron, New Mexico, and the other being in Cripple Creek, Colorado, where we were literally the only guests there. And we got to explore the whole place, and both places left other hotel room doors open so we could kind of peek our heads in and take a gander. Really cool stuff. And yes, both were haunted hotels. Planning on going back to both of them. But talk about luck having the place to yourself. Like, literally, it's a ghost town. Advice like that, saying it's the busiest time, would be very convenient for me, because I would plan to go during a slower time for sure. Sandy Hook Lighthouse is less than half a mile away from Fort Hancock, which also is believed to be severely haunted. Weird New Jersey gives a bit more detail about this specific fort. Quote, from 1874 until 1919, Sandy Hook was used as a proving ground for the military's latest experimental weaponry. During the Second World War, a 9-gun battery was constructed to keep an unblinking eye on the waterways leading to Manhattan. This enormous fortification was intended to keep the harbor area safe from attack by enemy ships and German U-boats. During the Cold War, the Hook was the site of a surface-to-air Nike missile base. The Hook was demilitarized in the mid-1970s and handed over to the National Park Service. Unfortunately, with only enough funding to maintain isolated corners of the facility, most of the complex has fallen into a state of dire disrepair. The once stately houses of Officers Row now look like a dilapidated ghost town. The battlements of the old fort, now merely a labyrinth of concrete ruins, lie crumbling along a shoreline sand dune, bearing silent witness to a battle that was never fought here. Perhaps the strangest and most curious sights to be seen among these post-war time military relics can be discovered along the beach on the western side of the Hook, where the waters of the bay lap against an area of seldom visited shoreline. Here you will find enormous arch-topped concrete structures, each with a single doorway leading inside. They rest askew at the water's edge, foundering in the soft sand that cradles them. Though you'd never guess it to look at them today, these massive, oddly shaped structures were once a vital part of the Fort Hancock's arsenal. This is where the dynamite for the gun batteries was stored, far enough away from the batteries themselves that in the event of an explosion, the guns, shells, and other ordnance would not be destroyed. Unquote. So see, to me, that would be really interesting to check out at some point. Obviously, I wouldn't go alone. I love old, creepy, and abandoned, but I also, you know, people are like, what, are you scared to go in by yourself? No, not scared of ghosts or spooks or whatever you want to call them. Spectrals, apparitions. I love that kind of thing, obviously. But I'm more afraid of humans. You know, squatters, homeless people, perhaps just people that are up to absolutely no freaking good hanging out in places like that, far off, you know, out of sight, out of mind. It's away from things. Things can happen. So if you do go, my personal tip is go in groups. Do not go alone. Now, in that same article, Weird New Jersey paints an interesting picture describing the scene, making me want to go even more. Quote, crossing over the darkened threshold and entering the bunker, you are transported into a dark, cavernous space. Its sandy floor littered with the flotsam of decades of high tide debris. As your eyes adjust to the darkness of the cave and begin to trace the curve of the high arched ceiling down to the waterline, you will see that the concrete walls are adorned throughout with brightly colored, primitive-looking murals reminiscent of ritualistic tribal artwork. These eerie, amorphous characters, spray-painted in bright primary colors, depict a variety of human and animal hybrid creatures. There are canine bodies with human heads, and vice versa, winged bird men, and three-headed deer-like creatures. Many of the characters display other living creatures trapped within their bellies as if having been recently devoured. Unquote. Eerie stuff indeed, and it would be neat to check out sometime at some point. A fun day at the beach with a twist at the end there. How about that? Now, Sandy Hook, in general, is just plumb full of history that dates, yeah, way back, you guessed it. And yes, that does include some dark history as well. While Fort Hancock may have been ready, but never had witnessed or experienced the battle, during my research, I did come upon an interesting article through app.com that talks about an ever so deadly event that took place here. Quote, "The American Revolution was over by December 31st, 1783. Redcoats were shipping out of Sandy Hook, which the British occupied for the entirety of the war. When a handful of deserters fled the Royal Navy's HMS Assistance, First Lieutenant Hamilton Douglas Halliburton was dispatched on a small boat to round them up, and he took 13 crew members with him. They never returned. A winter storm swooped in and stranded them in the marsh at Horseshoe Cove, where they were later found, frozen to death. They were buried in a mass grave. Halliburton's family funded a memorial marker. In 1808, French sailors anchored at Sandy Hook came across the British monument and destroyed it. A century later, construction workers stumbled across what was by then a hidden pit filled with bones. The remains were linked to Halliburton's expedition. They were reinterred at Cypress Hills National Cemetery in Brooklyn." Unquote. So that kind of thing always bugs me. You know, well, first of all, the whole thing is really upsetting. These men, they go off and they get stranded. Mother Nature takes its course, as it is right now with Hurricane Erin. Everybody keeping you in my thoughts and prayers when it comes to that and other storms. But it's like they're stuck on this island and they freeze to death. Like, oh my God, I wonder how long it took them for them to succumb. You know what I mean? Like, that's horrible stuff right there. It's like if it's a shipwreck and they go straight down, that's still heartbreaking, but hoping that death was kind of instantaneous, maybe. But you're stuck on an island and you freeze to death. Brutal. And then it's like, okay, French sailors come on over. They find this monument. I don't care who it is in memory for. And they destroy it? Like, karma's a bitch. Seriously. It's horrible stuff. People who do that should be utterly ashamed of themselves. Just saying. Rant over. The American Revolutionary War. Around 25 to 30,000 Americans died. And I want to talk about one man, Joshua Huddy. He was a man of many talents, okay? He was a military officer, he was a privateer, and he was the captain of the ship, the Black Snake. He also served in the New Jersey militia during the American Revolutionary War. He sadly would not live long enough to see the end of this war, the year prior to the end of the war. That being 1782, Captain Huddy was falsely accused of the murder of a British soldier, and he's apprehended by the Loyalists and is taken to a military prison ship in New York Harbor, and he would eventually be executed by hanging. A note attached to his body reading this, quote, "We the refugees, having with grief long beheld the cruel murders of our brethren, and finding nothing but such measures daily carrying into execution. We therefore determined not to suffer without taking a vengeance for numerous cruelties, and thus began and have made use of Captain Huddy as the first object to present to your views, and further determine to hang man for man as long as a refugee is left existing. Up goes Huddy for Philip White. Unquote. The following day, the captain's corpse, still hanging, by the way, is found by his fellow patriots, who go onto the gallows, cut down the rope, and they give him a proper and respectful burial. A petition was sent to General George Washington, who, as we know, would go on to be the very first president of the United States a few years later, and he demanded retribution and ordering the execution of a British officer if Loyalist Captain Richard Lippincott was not surrendered. They had picked a young man, also a captain, same rank as Huddy, named Charles Asgill. And Charles' execution date, it was quickly approaching. And while he almost had a date with the gallows, many people, including Captain Huddy's own widow, did not wish to see this man, who was innocent, by the way, to die. He would eventually be released and returns home to Britain. And there is a happy ending for Captain Richard Lippincott as well, as he makes his way to Canada to start a fresh new life, as the Loyalists were granted a whopping 3,000 acres out there. And by the way, Captain Huddy is believed to haunt the area. People have seen his apparition, and they claim that he is dressed in his Patriots uniform. And he has been seen here at Sandy Hook Lighthouse. And ever since his murder, and yes, many people believe he was indeed murdered, as they believe that he did not kill that soldier and that he was executed for nothing. He's been seen roaming the shores of Sandy Hook with revenge running through his veins, arr, and vengeance in his heart, arr, and a reckoning, oh yes, a reckoning in his soul, hoping someday that Captain Huddy finds peace. So, as you can see, a bunch of history here at Sandy Hook, and I didn't even go through a lot of it, just a little chunkerino. And yes, it is definitely believed to be haunted. I did find something interesting in the Monmouth Journal regarding legends about the lighthouse. Quote, "Over time, fact has mixed with fiction to create folklore unique to Sandy Hook. Indeed, there are mysteries buried beneath the Sandy Hook Lighthouse. Oral tradition tells of a secret cellar beneath the lighthouse or the keeper's house, which, when excavated in the 1860s, revealed an eerie skeleton seated before a fireplace, or a table, depending upon who was telling the tale. Almost a century later, the Army Corps of Engineers unearthed the corpses of 4 men and 1 woman near the base of the lighthouse. Allegedly, these are not the only skeletons here at Sandy Hook. According to New Jersey folklore, Captain Kidd, the infamous pirate, buried his ill-gotten booty in the pines of Sandy Hook. To this day, his skeletal crew is said to anchor their phantom vessel, the Adventure Galley, at Sandy Hook and roam the shore in search of the lost treasure. The pirate skeletons supposedly dance in the moonlight, swords in hand, before sailing into the shadows once more." Unquote. Well, that would be quite the sight to see. Sounds like something straight out of a movie.
In a world where Captain Kidd and his skeletal crew navigate the shores, Sandy Hook, to look for their long lost, dare I say, booty. They suddenly break out into a deadly but oh-so-beautiful and gorgeous dance.
So, are there really bodies buried at the lighthouse, or is it just a tale, a legend? People have claimed to see unexplained activity here, lights dancing about in the tower of the lighthouse, And it's believed that a past keeper remains here to this very day, keeping a very watchful eye on his lighthouse and the surrounding area, of course. He did it in life, so why not in death?
And that concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. Mwah. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They're all fantastic. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? Well, there's really no need to lose any sleep over it, my friends. You could hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as CastBox, PodTel, Deezer, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and I will
see you next week.